Today's daf from Masechet Tabura, brought to you mibein Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Yud Aleph. We're still holding on daf Yud Amud Beit, right smack bang in the middle, and we need to get back into it for a moment here. So we've been talking about the machlokas between Bar Poda and Rabbi Yochanan. And the question is it possible to give a separate kedusha to a vlad? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Imshir Mishuyah, Uber Lav Yerech Imohu, if a person wants to be Magdish a Vlad, he can be Magdish a Vlad without the mother. He can be Magdish the mother without the Vlad. He can make the mother one type of Kedusha and the Vlad a different type of Kedusha. It doesn't matter. Now, all of this, of course, is where he's starting with a Behemas Chulin that is pregnant, and then he can define each piece separately. But if we're talking about over here, a Behemas Chulin, which is not pregnant, then when that Vlad develops, it will develop as Vladis Kachim. That's not up to him. And then there's a Machlokas. What happens with Vladis Kachim? They definitely become Kadosh. Machlokas about whether Bime'e'ima named Kadoshim, are they Kadosh by the way, as we mentioned earlier, or whether they're only Kadosh b'Havayatan, Kadoshach Asher Yelach, Zoloshim of Havaya, which they become, meaning they've been born. That's the pshat, they've come into the world. That's a machlokas. We'll talk about that machlokas later on. But that's not what we're talking about over here. Here we're talking about the initial kedusha. Can it be separate from the mother? And I can do whatever I want. I'm sharing mishuyar. According to Bar Poda, there is no way, bichlal, to be a kedusha on an uber, because the uber is not an independent entity. It's like the mother's liver. You can't make the mother's liver into a korban, and you can't make the mother's fetus into a korban. So holds Bar Poda. So we were asking various questions yesterday, and we asked from the sugya about vlodais, and I think we should just start quickly again at the eitvei, so we can get right back into, no, at the upper eitvei, I'm saying, at the eitvei, about one third of the way up. So the mashma'ut is, you cannot be maimer. That's the whole point. You cannot be maimer, but you could certainly, if you wanted to make something kodesh, you could, or mikdash kache. There'd be no problem if it's being kodesh. I mean, if it isn't even kodesh, obviously you can't make it tmura. So what would we even be discussing? It would be a joke. So it must be bar poda that you can make a uber kodesh? No, says Bar Poda. Didn't we just talk about the fact that there's a big difference between an animal that becomes pregnant when it's kodesh, which is called vladei, that's called vladei's kachim. That's what we're talking. Obviously, I agree that if an animal became pregnant while it was a korban, then of course the vlad is kodesh. What, isn't the animal's liver kodesh? Yes. So why wouldn't the liver, the animal's vlad be kodesh? That's not what we're talking about, remember? This case is talking about vlade kachim. So that's vlade kachim, the kodesh v'kaimi. Over there was kodesh on its own. Wait a minute. If it's talking about an animal that was pregnant, and the only problem is that you cannot use a fetus, then why does it say, you're saying it's only the fetal problem. If it had been born, it would be good. Once it would have been born, it would have been fine, and then it would have made its mura, right? That's what you're saying. Its sole problem is the fact that it's currently in utero. Otherwise, there's no problem at all. But I got a problem for you. Because if it's vlad is kachim, then the halacha is that even when it's born, it wouldn't be able to be making a tmura. What are you saying? That if it had been born, it would have been able to make it kodesh? Even there, it wouldn't have been able to make it kodesh. Because the halacha is, ein havlad eisa tmura. It says, beferish, there is no din of tmura on a vlad. Yes, but what's the big deal? How many Rabbi Yehuda he? The omra havlad osa tmura. It's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said beferish in that Mishnah, a vlad does make a tmura. So what's your problem? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the only issue is that it's in utero. But had it been born, it would have been able to make a tmura. So therefore, the Mishnah states it in that fashion, that since it is currently a fetus, it cannot make a tmura. Very simple. That you call very simple. If it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that a vlad is also tamura, then the problem is, if it's a fetus, it cannot be what the Mishnah is talking about over here. Because if it's going a libra Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is saying the only problem is that a varim and ubarim cannot make a tamura, that's not true. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that you can't even make an Aver Kodesh Lechatchila, because Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Meir in the Machlokas we're going to get to today, but what we've spoken about, and that is that an Aver, there's no, you'd completely ignore it when somebody says an Aver is Kodesh. What does it mean an Aver is Kodesh? Unless, of course, it's an Aver Shana Shema Tuviyavu. But to say that an Aver is Kodesh is nonsensical. So therefore, the whole Mishnah is not going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mishnah is talking about as if there is such a thing as an Aver. And now let's discuss, can the Aver make a Tamura or not? There's no such thing as an Aver, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why are we discussing it? Ask the Gemara, this is the problem, that it's a Tamura with the Lo Avde. But it would be Kodesh. We can only discuss whether it's Kedusha sufficient to make a Tamura. It's not even Kodesh. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Vorim Lokache. Well, if we're talking about a Dovash and a Shama Tuliyabo, there's no problem, right? So maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Which even Rabbi Yehuda is made it to. Magdishin Evarim v'Ubarim. What do you do with this? You can be Magdish an Aver and an Uber lechatchila. Did you hear this, Barbara? You can be, and let me repeat it to you. You can be Magdish an Aver and an Uber. We're not talking about a car company, man. You can be Magdish and Uber, lechatchila, okay? It says so beferish. Now, according to you, there's no such thing. You can't make a Tamura, avalon me'mirin. But there is such a thing as being Makadish and an Aver. No, that says Rabbi Zera, no, we're talking over here. We're talking about Vlodais Kachim again. Vlodais Kachim. So what do you mean? You can be Magdish de'evorim v'de'eburim. What do you mean be Magdish de'eburim? They are Kaddish, not because you're Magdish them. So why does it say Magdishin? Ibe Vlodei Kachim, my Magdishin. Or Kaddish Evekaime. The whole point of being Vlodei Kachim is that they are Kaddish because of the mother. But you cannot be Magdish them. According to you, I mean, that's the whole point. There's no way to ever be Magdish them. They can only take on the Kaddish of the mother. But in this case, it's saying you can be Magdish them. Or what possible meaning is there to the words that you can be Magdish them? Omar, so Rabbi Zera basically tells him, it's a lot more complicated than it looks, okay? You think that the point of the Mishnah is to contrast the initial Kedusha with the Tamura. You can make the initial Kedusha, which you're saying, but you said you can't. Okay, hold on. I'm telling you, that's not the contrast over here. It's written in a rather complex way, okay? But this is what it means. It means, okay, comma. Magdishin Evarim, you can take these Evarim and make them Kodesh, correct? Yes, because Adav Shanash Amatlu Yabo, what happens? The Kedusha spreads through the entire animal, correct? Everybody agrees. So Posh the Kedusha Bakula, and that's what we're talking about over here. So once you did that, right? Once you were Magdish, the Aver, so then the Kedusha is now Posh the Bakula. Once the Kedusha is Posh the Bakula, can you use that full animal to make a tamura? Of course. It's a regular animal, like any other animal. So when it says over here, be'evarim, that doesn't mean be'evarim a separate aver. It means an animal that is kodesh through having had its aver being mukudash, and then it's becoming an entire carbon. That's what it means, okay? So you can even be Mamer once that Aver is Kodesh, and now the whole animal is Kodesh. So now you can even use that animal to make the entire thing Kodesh. That's what we're saying. And what's the contrast? Avolo Memirin Evarim Behem. What it's saying is you cannot make a Tmura by saying, and this Aver should be the Tmura for this animal. Because the Torah says it has to be a beima, beima, and it's not a beima, beima. Fine. Now, the next piece, which includes the concept of ubarim, is not contrasting making the initial kedusha on ubarim versus making tamura on ubarim. No. What it's saying is ubarim shekatru b'nei iman, ma she'en kein. In a case where an uber was mekabel kedusha, over there, even when it is, as opposed to the case of the aver, where once the aver is kodesh, there really is a full kedusha, as opposed to that, an uber cannot create a tmura under any circumstances, but it does not mean that the case of the uber, I'm contrasting the kedusha of the uber to the tmura of the uber. No. It's contrasting the ability to make a tmura once kedusha was chal on something with another case where it cannot make a tmura once kedusha was chal on something. So the Aver, because the Aver creates a Kedusha on the entire Behemah, and now it becomes Behemah by Behemah, and that's a perfectly valid Tmura, that yes. On Uber, where the only case, of course, that would possibly be considered to be Kodesh, would be if it's Bimei Iman and the mother is Kodesh, and it took on that Kedusha, because no such case is actually being Magdish, the Uber, as I've said, there you cannot make a Tmura in exchange for that Uber either. Because since it's an Uber, it's not called a Behemah, as opposed to an Aver where the whole thing became a Behemah that was Kodesh. It is called a Behemah, so the Mishnah never meant to contrast the initial Kedusha of these two cases with the Tmura of these two cases. The Mishnah is simply pointing out that there's a difference in creating a Tmura. That's all. So sometimes you can use an Aver, so to speak, to create a Tmura. Not really. Because if you were Magdish the Aver, then you're really using the whole animal. But you can't use an Uber to create a Tmura. That's all that it's referring to. Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, it still doesn't make sense. Because the way you're understanding it, the Mishnah is referring to Vlade Kachim. But then what it's saying is, or it should say, V'iba Vlade Kachim, V'me'e iman hu d'lo havdin Tmura. So what does it say? The reason it can't make a tmura is because it is a vlad in a uterus, right? Mashma, but once it's born, that's fine. But it's not fine because, as we pointed out 10 minutes ago, ein havladodos in tmura. And now you're saying the only problem over here is that it's an uber. But if it was a vlad, then it would be as a tmura. Not true. The Mishnah says if it's a vlad, even if it was born ein os in tmura. So the whole thing doesn't make sense. In the case of the Aver that becomes a Behemah, over there you can use it for Tmura. But in the case of an Uber that becomes a Behemah by becoming born, you still wouldn't be able to use it for Tmura. The whole analogy over here breaks down. Says Rabbi Zera, not true. Because if it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, which is how I explained it, because talking about a Dover Shana Shama Tuliyabo, like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Vladai's Kachim can make a Tmura. Ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, but it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. Because if it's going Aleba to Rabbi Yehuda, then Avorim can't be Kodesh. And it says over here, Avorim. And then it spreads. We know the answer to this, obviously. I'm talking about a Neshama, Dovashan, Neshama, Tzuyabo. But in it, we have to talk it out. So Avorim, Mikache. I thought, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we do not say, Hala Rabbi Yehuda, Lesley, Omer, Ragla, Shazu, Ola, Te, Kula, Oila. So then the whole thing doesn't make sense. Well, I've already explained that to you. That we're talking about, bidavar ha'oseo tatrefa. Now, that's the same thing as saying a dover shana shama tlu yabo, as we're about to say, but introducing this brand new sugya, in which we need to define precisely what is meant by a dover shana shama tlu yabo, how far we go with that. Because of that, the Gemara changes its lashon, and instead of saying dover shana shama tlu yabo, it says a dover shoseo tatrefa. The truth is, there are those who don't like that explanation. They change the gears, and they say that in other gears, it says "b'davash anashamat liyabo," just to maintain the consistency in the way Rabbi Zera constantly refers to. But it's not a problem. It's not b'chay of us to change the gears. It just actually opens up the next circuit. There is a nafkamina, but the nafkamina is not a fundamental nafkamina in approach. The nafkamina is something that makes a trefa a dover neshama tuliyabo. It's a secondary question. So we raise it like this. Those who hold that a trefa is high anyway, so then the fact that it has a trefa doesn't mean it's going to die. So then it's not a dover neshama tuliyabo. That's all that it depends.
How did we explain the Murash Ubar? I mean...
How did we explain which Gemara should we said, as an Ubar, it can't be Meimer because it's not a Behema. But as a Vlad, when it's born, if it's going to leave the Rabbi Yehuda, Vladeis Kachim do make a Tamura when they're born. That's why the Mishnah is only saying, if it's an Uber, only if it's an Uber, not if it's born. If it's an Uber, then you can't be Meimer from it. Okay, now listen, this whole big machlokas that we've called machlokas with Yochanan and Bar Pada, isn't this like an older machlokas about whether a Uber can be treated separately from the mother or not? Now, gentlemen, before we get to this, let me point out to you that there are so many variations of the theme over here that any machlokas that we find could be part of some other issue. Because remember, one case is a case where you were magdish the aver and the mother separately. Another case is a case where the mother became pregnant as a behemas kachi. And even in that case, we know that there's a machlokas whether during the time that it's an uber in the mother who's kodesh, is it at that point kodesh, or does it only become kodesh when it's born, which is called vlodas kachim bahavayatan, because the pasuk is kodeshecha asher yiyulach, which means when they come into being in the world. Therefore, we use the lashon havaya, come into existence. So it would only be at birth, in the sense of external, separate existence. So any case that you bring me that looks like a machlokas could actually either be a machlokas about a completely different issue, because remember, there's the other problem. Is Uber Yerech Imo or not Yerech Imo? And if an Uber is not Yerech Imo, that leads to all kinds of different issues. Does that mean it's independent completely? Does it not? That we need to see. So there could be a machlokas about that. There could be a machlokas whether Vladis Kachar Baba Yasin in Kedeshin or Bebe Iman in Kedeshin. There could be a difference in cases. One case might be talking about where the animal was pregnant at the time that you made it Kedesh, and therefore you can be a different Kedusha. Another case might be referring to a case where it became pregnant after it was Kedesh. So you're really engaging in a very unclear kind of quest when you're saying, let's say it's a machlokas tanoim, because it's obvious that when you'll find a machlokas, it might not even be a machlokas, because one case might be talking about vlodas kachim, the other case might be talking about where you made it kodesh l'chatchila. That's always a possibility, that it looks like you've got a machlokas, but there isn't even a machlokas, it's just two different cases. Another possibility is that they're arguing in b'me'iman en kedoshim, b'avayatan en kedoshim. So it's obvious that what the Gemara is really doing, of course, is opening up the door so that we can work all that out. Since we're going to meet all of these different sugyas, it's very important for us to learn the process by which we can distinguish, are you absolutely sure you know what we're talking about here and what the issues are? Because there's lots of alternatives. So the Gemara, again, this is the derech of the Gemara. The Gemara pretends to be working this out like we never could have thought of that. Rashi speaks this out, Beferish and Yuma, that the Gemara goes through things that obviously we know where we're going once you know the sugya, but the Gemara always does this to teach you what the issues are and how to tease them apart. So again, this is what we're going to be doing here. Chaim, Chaim. Lemek et tanoi. So it seems to be mamash machlok et tanoi. And by the way, of course, we also have a grand opportunity when we do this kind of shtick to bring in issues that nobody would have thought of have anything to do with the sugya. So no, but it actually boils down to this question and so on, right? Which also expands the envelope of your thinking as to how far the ideas of Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan, how far would they extend? Okay. So let me get on. Somebody shechs a korban chatas, and little did he know it was a pregnant korban chatas. And in it, he finds a living, immature fetus, which for a chatas would be, which would normally have a 5-month gestation. It is only a 4-month-old fetus. Now, the halacha in that case, when there is a fetus that is in the womb of a mother that's shechted, whether you knew about it or not is irrelevant. The din is, of course, that the shechita of the mother is the shechita of the fetus. That we learn out from the pasuk, behema, ba behema, and that is not dependent on all of the other issues that we raise in terms of the din of the Kiddusha. First, let's just talk about its Shchita. Was it Shechta? Yes, it was definitely Shechta. Okay, who eats it? Is it a Chatas and only Kohanim can eat it? Or is it just a kosher animal that was Shechta? So that's a Machlokas. Now one Braita says, Katani Chada, it is a chatas. And therefore, it was never born, so it's not vlade chatas, but it's kosher chatas meat and can only be eaten by kohanim, zechorim, inside of the azora, in the nechelat ala lifnim and akeloim, in the nechelat ala yom echad. How long can you eat a chatas for? Only until the end of that day. You got to finish this fetus up only by the end of the day. Masha Inka is another brisa that says, what chatas? It's a regular animal. You can eat it by anyone, nechalat l'chol adam. You eat it wherever you want. Go move to Timbuktu and eat it. It's nechalat l'olam. There's no time limits. It's just regular chulin. And there's no problem. Now, I mean, how do you explain this, my focus, you know? My love to know you. There must be a question of whether the kedusha of the chatas was chal on this uber. When you said, let this be a chatas, you meant it should be a chatas, the Uber should be a chatas. Okay, so then if it would be chal on the Uber, so then obviously it's going to be giving us that din of the chatas. Mashaykin, if you hold like Bar Poda, it never became a chatas. En kedusha chal al ubarim. Now, of course, all of this is making the first assumption, which is that I made it Kodesh as a pregnant animal and not that it became an animal, a pregnant animal afterwards, right? So therefore, it all depends on, do you hold like Bar Poda or do you hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Come on, no. I mean, why say that? Maybe it's talking about over here, Vlades. You didn't have a pregnant animal. You made it Kodesh as a chata 6 months ago. Now it's discovered at the time of the Shechita that it got pregnant during that time. And now it has an undeveloped fetus in it, right? So what's the question over there? Says the Gemara, we're not talking about where you made it Kodesh. We're talking about where it became pregnant. And my sorrow of blood is Kachibavayatana and Kodesh. Remember the other machlokas? Do animals that are conceived in the state of Kedusha, where the mother is Kodesh, do they become Kodesh as they grow, or do they become Kodesh when they're born? So Mar Sabra Vladis Kachibavayat Anein Kedoshin, since they only become Kodesh when they're born, and this was never born, because its mother was Shechted before birth, so it remained Chulin. So therefore, eat it wherever you want to. It's a kosher animal, it's Chulin, for as long as you want, or whatever. Mashainke, the Tan of the first bride, so says, no, you have to treat it like Boser Chatas. That's because he holds that actually Vladis Kachim are Kodesh as they grow. That has nothing to do with Bar Poda and Rabbi Yochanan, who were arguing about whether if you're magdish something as a fetus, that's not the case over here. Or, you know what? How do you know that we're talking about a machlokas? What machlokas? One Bryce is talking about where you were magdish it as a fetus, and one Bryce was talking about where it became pregnant afterwards. What does that have to do with anything? They could both agree with each other, however you want to work it out. They could agree with each other, or both old like Rabbi Yochanan. That, of course, the Uber is a completely different din. And if one case was talking about that you said, I want the Uber to be a chatas because you made the mother and child a chatas, then of course it would have the din of a chatas immediately. Masha Enkein, the other one, holds that it was became pregnant only afterwards, and Bahavayatan and Kedoshim, and therefore it's pure chulin. I don't know. I mean, put it together the way you want. So maybe Chat Tanu, it's all one Tanu without a machlokas, and we're talking about two different cases. Chat Mihalan Matanaita, one of those prices is talking about where you were magdish the behema and then it became pregnant, v'achar kach nitabra, and the other one was talking about where you made it Kodesh and it was pregnant at the time and it's going like Rabbi Yochanan and the Kedusha was chal at that moment. What makes you jump to conclusions? Okay. Now that we're finished that, we've got one last very serious problem for Bar Poda to handle. And in fact, because of this, we're going to have to change our entire approach to what, because Bar Poda could never have said what we thought he said, because otherwise he's up the creek. So we're going to have to change what he said. Now, our problem is as follows. Later on, the Mishnah is going to say that Rabbi Elazar Omer should say that if you have the following, remember, a tmura is chal, even on a balmon, ben tov l'ra. But how far does that go? What if it's a type of animal that is completely outside of the Gidrei Kedusha? Let's say it's Kilayim, right? Or let's say it's a Trefa, which might be worse than just being a Balmon. These are different Sulin. Or maybe it's a Yotze Dofen. Maybe it was born by Caesarean, and the Torah says in order to be a Karban, it has to be Ki Yivaled, Shivat Yamim Tiyat Tachasimos. It's not even in the whole Parsha of Karbanos, okay? And if it's a tumtum or an androgynous, so it's not the kind of min at all that is acceptable on the Mizbeach. There, lo kedoshin, they will not become kodesh if you try to make them kodesh, and they will not be magdish other things. Now Shmuel says, let's just understand what that says. They will not be kodesh means they cannot become kodesh even through tmura. Obviously, they're not kodesh, kodesh laguf, but you might think that in the same way that you can make a tmura on a balmum, you can make a tmura on a yotze dofen or on a trefen. It's the same idea. It's not the same idea. These things are outside of the Gidrei Kedusha. So that's the point. They do not become kodesh even by making them a tmura, and they do not make anything else kodesh if you use them to make a tmura, which makes no sense. Because how can you use them to make a tmura if they can't be kodesh in the first place? Fine. That's obviously what our problem is here. That we're going to be getting to. About what? Because neither is a balmum, but I could still make a balmum at tmura. Right? Fine. Now, obviously, we needed to deal with what, I mean, if that's what Rabbi Elazar meant, then it's absurd. If they can't become kodesh, then obviously they can't make a tmura. So what case was he talking about? V'tanya. Amar Rebbe, it should say. What does he mean? If you just make a statement that this thing cannot be kodesh, then obviously, how could you start discussing whether they can be magdish something else as a tmura? Of course they can't be magdish something else as a tmura. So, heich magdishin. Oh, I could come up with two possible cases. But by coming up with these two possible cases, we're going to have to split the statement. Because only two out of the five aforementioned cases are possible to work out to say they also cannot be magdishin b'tumur. What would that be? I'll tell you. Iyatamot said you could find one case would be where first you made the behema kodesh and then it became a trefa. Okay, that's good. So it became a trefa, and you're telling me even though it was kodesh because the kedusha was chal before, once it's a trefa, it cannot make a tumura. Now that's fine. Now there's also another case. Another case would be where you were magdish barpada, please listen carefully. You were magdish the fetus. You were magdish the uber, and then it became a caesarean. So you would say, look, a kilayim obviously is congenital. I mean, that's not going to change. A tumtum, an androgynous, those are congenital issues. But there are two issues that are not congenital, trefa and yotze dofen. So I can have two cases out of these five, which means the Rebbe Elazar was talking about two things. Lo magdishin, five cases you can't be magdish. And two out of those five, if they became kodesh without your being magdish them, because they were vodos or whatever, they will not be even magdishin achir b'tmura. They don't lose their kedusha. They do not have sufficient kedusha to make a tmura. Fine. That makes perfectly good sense, except according to you, sir, Mr. Barpada. Doesn't make sense at all. There's no such thing, according to you, as making a uber kodesh. So how did Rebbe say, and this is like everybody takes this as being, you know, this is the pshat in Rebbe Elazar. Are you arguing on Rebbe? What exactly is your makar, right? So you see that a bar poda cannot maintain his opinion that an uber is never kodesh, unless, of course, it was an uber in the womb. In the womb of an animal that was kodesh, but that's not what we're talking about over here. Amri answers the Gemara, you know what? We misunderstood Bar Poda. We were a little bit over simplistic. We thought that the pshat is like this, that since according to Bar Pada, uber yerech imo, so therefore, in the same way that I can't make its liver a korban, I can't make a vlad a korban. That is not true. That's not what Bar Pada holds. Bar Pada does hold uber yerech imo, but Bar Pada says there's a big difference between a case where it would be possible for this thing to ultimately be its own korban, and where it's not possible for it even to ultimately be its own korban. Therefore, let's start like this. If uber is yerech imo, and the mother is not kosher as a korban, why? Because the mother is not tamima. So the mother is not ra'uya for kedusha for the mizbeach. Then, obviously, if uber yerech imo, the fetus cannot be ra'uya for the mizbeach. That's a given. That's the case I'm talking about. I'm saying when you had a mother that was a balat mum, and you want the fetus of that mother to be kedush berechem, I'm saying you can't do that because that fetus is an extension of that mother. And there's no way that it can become kodesh if the mother can't become kodesh. But I agree that in a case where you have a mother which is a tmima, and you want only the uber to be kodesh. Now, normally I hold that if you would make part of an animal kodesh, the whole thing would become kodesh. But that certainly is not true over here, because this particular part of the animal is going to be an animal in its own right and is going to be roi on its own right for the mizbeah. Now, in that case, since there is no preventive issue, such as a bal mum on the mother, to prevent a kedusha by being chal, so then this is the equivalent of making an aver kodesh, but it's a unique aver because it's an aver that's roi for the mizbeah when it's born, ultimately. Everything works up perfectly, perfectly good, right? Okay. So therefore, we're changing the whole machlokas Bar Pada and Rabbi Yochanan, amazingly. Bar Pada. B'tam b'me'et mima, afilo Bar Pada na mimoda de kodesh. Bar Pada has no problem. He agrees that it can become kodesh as long as the mother is shayechet to kedusha lo nechukol l'tam b'me'et balad mum. Only machlok is if the mother itself is not ru'uya, is it shayach to make the uber at kedusha on its own? Bar Pada sever, how is that possible? Given the ime lo magdishin kedusha zaguf. If you cannot create kedusha zaguf on the mother because it's a balas mum, so then the fetus over here is part of its mother because ruba yerech imo. Sahanami lo kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan sever, no. Two separate animals, no connection one with the other. I'll do relav yerech imo. The mother can't become kaddish because she's a balas mum. The uber does not have any mum. What's my problem in making it separately kaddish? Now things are getting much clearer to us. By the way, there is a lishna achrina Yerushalmi again on this very last piece, okay, which speaks out the thing that we didn't speak out before. When Rebbe said his deal that, well, I can come up with two cases, it was two out of the five cases. The Lishna Achrin in the Yerushalmi talks out. And what about the other three cases? Okay, Aval, the other three cases, Kilayim, Tumtum, and Androgynous. Now that, obviously, Rabbi Elazar was not talking about a case that they cannot make other things Kodesh, unless, in this version, unless they were Vladei Kachim, and then since the mother was Kodesh, even though they themselves have a congenital defect of being a Tumtum, so comes along Rebbe Elazar to say that even though they are Kodesh, not that I was Makdish, it's not contrasting Makdish, even though they're Kodesh on their own, they cannot make a Tmura because it's going with Rebbe Yehuda. And Rebbe Yehuda holds that Vlad would normally make a Tmura, which is why I need to speak up, but not this Vlad. This Vlad is special. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, I need to speak that out. If the Vlad has this level of congenital pagam, then even though it itself is Kadesh, because it was born to a mother that's Kadesh, it cannot make a Tmura. So that part I can work out even in the other three cases. So now, the continuation of the Yerushalmi is to ask on Bar Pada from Rebbe the same kasha that we asked. Halenu de lo kachi gufayu. Dafka, these that are born with the Yotze Dofen and so on in the Trefa, they're the ones that have a problem. But apparently other Uberin are Kodesh, and you claim it is in Kodesh. Same kasha we have, just in different words. Yerushalmi. And the same answer that we gave in the Rishon. Omer Abaye Tam Bime'et Bim'ah Divrei HaKol Kadosh Gufayu. Even Bar Pada agrees that if the mother is Shaya. Ki Plige, the only machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Bar Pada is Bime'et, where you have the Tam Bime'et Ba'alat Mum. The Bar Pada Savar. Since the mother, Kiva the Ime Lo Kadosh Gufa, by the dint of the fact that she is a Ba'alat Mum, and since I hold Uber Yerech Imo, then the Vlad could never be Kodesh. Masha Enkin, Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Afagav, the email of Kachula Gufa, you're 100% right. The mother cannot be Kodesh. But why can't the Vlad be Kodesh? Vlad, Mia, Kodesh Lagufayu. The Vlad is a different entity and can become Kodesh. Same idea. It just speaks out the possibilities of Rabbi Lazar of the other three cases and then ends up with the same Kasha on Bar Pada, the same Teretz on Bar Pada. Now, let's move on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi turns around, says to the Tanakama, look, I mean, why would it not be Kodesh as a Temura if you said the Aver? Let's say if you wanted to be marked to something. And you went ahead and said, B'mugdashi, Ragla Shalzo Ola, says Rabbi Yossi. Wouldn't it become an Ola? Now, is that true? If you would say Ragla Shazu Ola, it would become an Ola. Tana Rabbana, let's take a look and see whether that's true. The Brayta says like this: Yocho, you might have thought that a Omer Ragla Shazu Ola Tehekula Ola Tamid Lomar Kol Asher Yiten Mimenu LaHashem Yekodesh. You might think the whole thing should be an Ola. No, it says Mimenu LaHashem. That means there's a piece of it, and only a piece of it that would be Kodesh. Mimenu LaHashem Velo Kulo LaHashem. If that's the case, you might think, well, so then, I mean, if I didn't give the whole thing to Hashem, then I didn't do anything because I only gave a part. No. Yocho Taitzil Chulin. It says, Kol Asher Yitein Mimenu LaHashem, Yihye Kodesh. So what do I do with it? Okay, Tzad. What you do is very simple. What do you have in front of you? You have an animal that belongs to you 99%, except for its foot. Okay. So sell the animal for an Ayla. Don't take money for the foot because that was already Kodesh. Say, I'm taking off the money for the foot because that was already Kodesh for an Ayla. And you who needed an Ayla, you buy it and use it for your Ayla. So this way the foot becomes an Ayla along with the rest of the animal. Now everything is fine. So Timacher Letzarchei Olot, I can keep all the money, but of course I can't take money. The money for that part, that belongs to Hekdesh, that doesn't belong to me. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say, oh no. How do I know that even saying a foot should be an oila? Makes the entire animal an oila? Anything that part of which was given to Hashem, does it say Kodesh? No. It says Yeh Kodesh, which means the Kedusha should expand. And therefore, it's coming to tell me Yeh Kodesh, the whole thing, L'rabot et kula. Fine. So that's our Machlokas, and that explains the conversation in the Mishnah. Now, something does not make sense. If somebody owed Hekdesh an Eila, how could he buy your animal where the leg was already an Ola due to somebody else's Hekdesh, and claim that he's fulfilling his neder in having bought an Ola? He did not. He bought an Ola missing a foot. And he said he was going to bring a whole animal. He didn't bring a whole animal. I mean, technically a whole animal was brought, but he didn't bring it. So for all intents and purposes, he is bringing, let's see it inside. You say, sell it to somebody else to bring it up. But when he brings that Ola, it's missing a leg. On my Rava, well, you got to find somebody who says, I want to bring an Ola that's got enough on it to survive. Now, obviously, you can't really bring an Ola with pieces cut off. But what he's saying is, my responsibility is to purchase the parts that are nogea, it's life. But the feet, which, okay, look, I understand it's a little bit crazy, maybe, right? You got one nut. Fine. No. Well, yeah, but remember, obviously, guys, you could do this yourself. In other words, what you could do is you could be mechayev yourself that and then use this to bring your oila. And then you'd be yotzi your carbon, and the whole thing would be brought as an ayla, and you could go to sleep in peace, right? I mean, by saying it this way, it doesn't mean it's literally the only way you could do it. Okay. Now, the question is, what is the case of a foot? Does a foot include a head? And a head also won't be Kodesh, Alibi Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, but will only be Kodesh, Alibi Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. Does it include a heart? Does it include a lung? So this is the question. What do we say is the exception? Amar Rav Chista. Rabbi Yehuda is made that if you isolate an aver that will make it a trefa, if it didn't have that aver, then of course the entire animal becomes kodesh, because its entire essence is, its life force is kodesh. So then the whole thing has to be kodesh. So there he's made it. Davar she'oseh ota trefa. Rava Amar, that's not really accurate. You should say it like this. He would be made in a davar she'oseh ota nevela. Rabbi Shesha says, that's also not accurate, because nevela, as we're going to see, are things that can be designated as dead even when they are alive. Remember, we had that back in Chulin. If you take out the thigh and the entire musculature is gone, and you could see a hole through the skin that's missing, then for all intents and purposes, this animal is dead, even though it isn't. And it's metame like an avela, right? According to one man diomar. So that would include much more than just being a trefa. Trefa obviously is not metame ben avela until it dies. But Rav Shesha disagrees with that also. Rav Shesha says, oh, no. We're talking about something that will cause its immediate death. That's what we're talking about. Not something that you want to technically say is dead. You want to give its heart. You want to give its head. Yes, then Rav Yehuda is made. But don't tell me that something that in the course of 12 hours is going to kill it, that's not called, even though maybe you want to give it technically a din of nevela now, that's not called the dover that is the actual object itself. Okay. So it would have to be a dover she'imeta. Now, just to explain to you, the difference between Rav Chista, who talks about trefa, and Rava, who talks about nevela, the difference in concept between them is whether a trefa can survive. If you hold trefa chaya, so then it's not a dover she'neshama tuliyaba, because then Rava would say, no, if it's a treif, I could go around for another 10 years like this. So why would that be called a davar she'neshama tuliyaba? The fact that ultimately it's terminal, that's not called a problem. It's not going to be in any way a davar she'neshama tuliyaba. But I do agree that there is a case. And what case would that be? So first, let's talk this out. Treif achaya, Rav Chista holds, command yama, treif eina achaya. Therefore, it's a davar she'neshama tuliyaba. Rava Savalagamanimatrefakaya, it can go walk around indefinitely like this. You'll never trace this directly to the cause of death. My Ikabain Rava Rav Shesha. And when Rava says an avela, and Rav Shesha says, no. Either it kills it or doesn't kill it. That would be the case of Rabbi Elazar. That we had back in Chulin. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Nital Yerech Vechalal Shalav is Nikar. So if you take out the entire thigh and all of the muscles that you left with a deep indentation, it's an avela on the spot. Rava agrees to that and says that's a davar she'neshama tuliyaba. Rav Shesha does not hold of that. He holds either it dies or it doesn't die. Take out its heart, it will die. Take out its thigh, it's not dropping dead, is it? So therefore, that's not a neshama tuliyaba. Meisvei. Now this is the way you guys claim, okay? You, Rava, Rav Chista, Rav Shesha, all of you have like this different approach, but you're claiming that ultimately, I mean, there's certainly cases where Rabbi Yehuda ends up agreeing with Rabbi Yossi, and so on. Well, I've got a problem for you. Namely, listen to Rabbi. Omar Rabbi, I think, Nirin Divi Rabbi Yehuda, appears to me that Rabbi Yehuda makes much more sense when you're talking about the Dover She'ein HaNeshama Tluyaba. And Rabbi Yossi makes more sense when you're talking about a Dover She'ein Tluyaba. Now, come on. That is saying, I, Rebbe, know that there is a machlokas across the board between Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda, and that Rebbe Yehuda actually holds, I don't care even if it drops dead on the spot. There's no such thing as poshta kedusha bakula. Whereas Rebbe Yossi is saying, I don't care whether it is or isn't, it's always poshta kedusha bakula. Now that's not the way you guys read it. All three of you claim, well, there's one point where even Rebbe Yehuda would agree. That's how our Rebbe's saying. Rebbe's saying, actually, I think Rebbe Yossi is right in those cases, and Rebbe Yehuda is wrong. Mashma, the Rebbe Yehuda himself definitely continues to maintain his opinion that even if it's the heart, I don't care. Give me a davar shana shama dorma tzitreifa. I don't care if it's a treifa, it's a davar shi mesa. I don't care if it's an avela. That's what Rebbe's saying. So I'm saying Rebbe Yehuda makes more sense in the davar she'ena the shama tuyaba, and Rebbe Yossi makes more sense in the davar shana shama tuyaba. But I mean, anybody who reads that understands that the implications are lav michlav the polega later Rebbe Yehuda. Clearly, they are arguing across the board in all cases. Now, I mean, I understand part of that you can agree to, but part of it you cannot agree to. I mean, the part that says, I think Rebbe Yehuda makes more sense to the Dover She'in on the Shama Tluv. Yes, that's true. Because Rebbe Yossi said beferish, I argue even on anything. Give its ear. Same thing, as far as I'm concerned. But that's because he learns it from the Pasuk. Yeah, Kodesh, right? That part is fine. That's true. Michlal de Paul Galei Rebbe Yossi. Yes, but the other part is wrong, according to you. If you're saying, but I think Rebbe Yossi is right only in a Dover She'ina Shama Tluyabo, implies that Rebbe Yehuda argues even in a davar shana shama tuyavo, right? And I think there Rebbe Yossi makes more sense than Rebbe Yehuda. So, lav mechala the poligalei Rebbe Yehuda. It's pretty clear that Rebbe Yehuda argues, not de Rebbe Yehuda, poligalei Rebbe Yehuda. The Rebbe Yehuda argues in this case, which shows that everybody is wrong. Rava's wrong, Rav Chista's wrong, Rav Sheshit, they are arguing under all circumstances. Whether it's a davar shi meita, whether it's a davar shi salta treifa, whether it's a davar shi salta nevela, how else do you understand what Rebbe said? Says the Gemara, you are misquoting Rebbe. When Rebbe said that, you don't understand. Chisuri mechasra, you're missing what Rebbe is really saying. Oh, chikatai. Nirin divrei Rebbe, not nirin to me, not that I think that Rebbe Yossi makes more sense. I'm saying nirin divrei Rebbe Yossi to everybody, even to Rebbe Yehuda. Nirin divrei Rebbe Yossi to Rebbe Yehuda b'dover shana shama tuyabo, because af Rebbe Yehuda lo polgalei the Rebbe Yossi ela b'dover she'ena shama tuyabo. That's what Rebbe was saying. Do not misunderstand this machlokas to be a machlokas across the board. In fact, Rebbe Yossi makes 100% sense to everyone, not to me, to Rebbe Yehuda and to everyone else. In a case where the Shama Tuyabo, in a case where the Shama Tuyabo, modele, everybody agrees to him. Now you want to have a machlokas. What is called a Dover Shana Shama Tuyabo? Please go right ahead. Is it Dover Shana Shama Tuyabo? Dover Shana Shama Tuyabo? Whatever you can argue to your heart's content, but it has nothing to do with Rebbe's statement whatsoever. Now, another fascinating question, and that is, if the diak over here is based on the pasuk of that we brought, which is kol asher yitain mimenu lashem, the lashon over there begins ve'im behema asher yakrivu mimenu korban lashem kol asher yitain mimenu lashem yekodesh. When it starts with the words ve'im behema asher yakrivu, does it really mean that it has to be a behema but not an oath? Or are we darshaning the last part of the pasuk separately? Kol asher yitein mimena, which would include even a bird. So boy rava ba'oth mahu, behema amar rachmanava halav behemahi. Or do we say, kol asher yitein mimenu korban la'ashem, korban amar rachmana. And this oath is also korban. Another question, and this question we went into at great length. We went into in great length in other places. We discussed this, and we actually had it pretty recently. We had a discussion of this back in Erechin, word for word, the same sugya. So I hope you remember it. And the question is like this. Suppose you are Magdish, boy, Rav. If you're Magdish, a single aver for its value, and you hold that that would normally mean Pashta Kedusha Bekula, but only for its value. Now, gentlemen, remember that there's two very different approaches to what happens when you're Magdish and Aver. If you're Magdish and Aver, according to Rabbi Yossi, then the Torah was Mechadesh that Kedusha is Pashta Bekula. That's a given, because the Torah said so. The Torah is not Mechalik, whether it was monetary value or whether it was Kedusha Zaguf. The way that it would work would be because of the Kedusha. according to Rabbi Yehuda, where we're willing to say Rabbi Yehuda would go along with Dovr Shana Shema Tliyabo, it's not because he holds that the Pasuk says so. It's because since you're talking about an object that's going to be given to the Mizbeach, then this is the essence of what the Mizbeach is going to be given. So you can't say just its heart includes its body. You can't say just its brain includes its body, right? So now, asking that, this is how Rashi understands it, asking this question on Libet of Yos, where it would be possible to conceive of a Kedusha Poshta Bakula, despite the fact that it's just a monetary consideration, okay? But it would still be Poshta Bakula, according to Yos. What I would like to know is, would I be able to put two things together? But I would be able to say, look, something normally, if I take a behemoth tamima, and I say this behemoth tamima should be given to the Berek HaBayit, what's the din? We had before, if it is shayach to Mizbeach, the Mizbeach grabs it. And its value belongs to the Berek HaBayit, but it goes on to the Mizbeach, for sure. Because it's royal Mizbeach. There's a further halacha, that there's a din of Pashta Kedusha Bekula. Now, can I put those two to dinim together? Can I say, just like if you would have given a behemoth tamima to the Berek HaBayit, it would have gone to the Mizbeach, so too if you give a single foot of a behemoth tamima, we would say, well, the whole thing becomes Kurdish, and then the whole thing goes on the Mizbeach. Or do we say, no, wait, we don't take two jumps at one time. I mean, the din of the Kedusha Pashta Bekula is because ultimately it's going to become Shayach to the Mizbeach, and therefore now it's Shayach to the Mizbeach. That's two migos. We would not put those two things together. So I want to know, do we or don't we? Hiddish Eivir L'damav, Mao Tetecha B'Kedusha Aguf. In the end, would it become Kodesh for the Mizbeach, even though I never made anything but a foot of a Behemoth to Behemoth Kodesh? Mi Omar, do we say, look, there's two steps over here. And first of all, I say, given the Nachtolei Kedusha Adomim, Nachtolei Nami Kedusha Aguf. If Kedusha Adomim, which is Shayach to the Mizbeach, is Chal, then the Kedusha Aguf is Chal. And since, actually, the Shinui Nischos changes it, to read the second part first. The kivan da agdashe lechad ever agdashe lekule. The kivan da agdashe kedusha sadomim agdashe nachto leinami kedusha zaguf. Odil machad migo amrei. We would say one migo, but trei migos to say since X is true, therefore Y is true, and also since Y is true, therefore Z is true. That we will not do, and therefore trei migo lo amrei. To be continued tomorrow as sugya that we have done in the past.